Last week, we spoke with New York Times tech columnist Farhad Manju after he published an article titled, "For 2 months, I got my news from print newspapers. Here's what I learned." Farhad wrote that, quote, "In January, after the breaking newsiest year in recent memory, I decided to travel back in time. I turned off my digital news notifications, unplugged from Twitter and other social networks, and subscribed to home delivery of 3 print newspapers. It was a crash diet, lots of healthy analog and just a little digital for dessert." Farhad found the experience so uplifting and liberating, he was moved to evangelize, as he told me.
I boil it down into 3 sort of Michael Pollan-esque little prescriptions. Get news, not too quickly, and avoid social.
The only problem was, according to analysis by Dan Mitchell in the Columbia Journalism Review and Joshua Benton of Harvard's Nieman Lab, Farhad spent most of his 48-day diet sneaking into the fridge. In the time that he was supposedly unplugged from Twitter news, he had tweeted hundreds and hundreds of times. Oops. Farhad, welcome back to On the Media.
Hi, it's good to be here.
All right. When we spoke to you last week, you did make a point of distinguishing between being on Twitter and getting your news from Twitter. But in your piece, you wrote that you were unplugged, not cut back, not in comment-only mode, but unplugged. Now, this is probably a question I should have asked you a few days ago, but unplugged? You must have a hell of a backup battery.
In the piece, I said that I was unplugged, and I thought it was clear in the context of the sentence that I wrote that I was not using Twitter as a source of news. And that is true. I was not unplugged from the internet totally, as that CJR piece claimed. I claimed that I had stopped looking to the Twitter stream for news. And that's really what I did. I mean, the way that people think about using Twitter is there's a stream of people you follow, especially journalists. We look at it for the kind of second-by-second incoming stream of tweets, many of which contain news. And that's how I used to rely on Twitter. You know, I would kind of look at it starting in the morning and then all day. It was one of my primary sources of news. And during this experiment, it was not that. I think it would have been really dumb of me, like, to sort of intentionally lie about what I did on Twitter, because, like, what I was doing on Twitter was public. Like, I tweeted during that time. I wasn't sort of trying to hide it, so.
Yeah, you returned to the scene of the crime 1,000 times. I mean, the question is, what is unplugged? I grant you that you had language, both in the column and in our conversation, that showed that you had not entirely cut yourself off, that this was a question of where you were consuming your news. But unplugged is pretty unambiguous. Are you saying now that it's ambiguous?
I feel like it was not unambiguous in the way that I wrote it. The thing that my piece was about how you get your news. And specifically, I said that I, during this experiment, got my news mostly from print, turned off breaking news notifications, and was looking for a way to use digital media that was more newspaper-like. So I talked about podcasts and newsletters, things that kind of give you this, like, once or twice a day look at what's happening in the world. And Twitter, my sort of stopping using Twitter was in the spirit of that. Like, I was not using Twitter in that way to get constant news. But there are other ways that you're constantly exposed to tweets and that you have, like, avenues to tweet from. So one of the services that I use is called TechMeme, which is a digest site of what's happening in the tech industry every day. And for each story, it shows you tweets around that subject. And you can click on those tweets and you can retweet them. And so you can post from there. Another thing that I did is use this app called Nuzzle, which I think is very in keeping with my experiment, which is you want to get a once-a-day look at the news. You load this up. It tells you the big stories that are happening online today. It shows you the stories. It doesn't highlight the kind of commentary that you get on social media about the stories. It shows you the actual stories. through that app, you can see people's tweets about it, and you can retweet and post. Like, I posted dumb comments. I just don't think that that has that much bearing on the point of my story, which was how I consumed the news. I didn't use Twitter in the way that I used to use Twitter as the source of news. I think some of the commentary around the CJR article is basically that I lied. And I reject that idea that I lied, because I didn't say that I quit the internet. I never made that claim, never claimed that I went offline. I was just looking to print newspapers as a source of news instead of, you know, the Twitter stream.
All right. Now, the Inquisition portion of this conversation is nearly over, but not quite.
Okay.
Incredibly, after Dan Mitchell's piece in the CJR, Harvard's Nieman Lab actually mapped your tweets at 5-minute intervals during your limited sequestration, let's just say, and found that, yeah, mm-hmm. you did cut back. And yes, you did use an app that really limited the incoming by filtering out the least shared ones. But you were clearly consuming news and Twitter commentary because you were tweeting about it and hitting the like icon.
Right. But it's different if you look at a digest of tweets and you press like there or you press retweet there than if you look at the Twitter stream. Like, the thing that I was aiming for was to get away from the minute-by-minute kind of constant interruptions of the news, which is what the Twitter stream does. I don't think that looking at it on a more measured basis constitutes that.
Farhad, we're not discussing plagiarism here or Jason Blair-style fabulism. It isn't Brian Williams reporting on military action he never saw. But it's something, and it sounds to me like you're using almost Clintonian legalisms. It depends on what your definition of is. You said in the headline, unplugged, and you used the phrase in the piece as well, and that is unambiguous. And at a minimum, your readers were led to believe something that wasn't so, in spite of how you explained the overall context within the piece. Would you ever say unplugged again anywhere near this piece if you had a do-over?
Given the controversy over it, no, I probably wouldn't use that word again.
Can we just turn this conversation away from journalism mm-hmm. and return it to where you began? And that is the question of digital addiction. This little Farhad Manju tempest in a tweet bot kind of makes your argument stronger that we are addicted to these instant rushes of digital dopamine.
You're totally right. I mean, it's hard. I'll repeat what I said. We are addicted. It's hard to pull away from it. I think that you saw in the chart of my Twitter activity that it took a while. It's difficult. It's not like a thing that you just jump off of. But I'll tell you what, the controversy that I've been in over the last few days has made it easier to stay off of Twitter, because it's very unpleasant there at this point. But you know, your phone is something that you use and can justify using for work all the time, especially if you're a journalist. And your phone is just this incredibly seductive device where there's stuff in it that is more interesting than anything you have around in the real world. One notification and you get sucked in it. And I mean, this is what was the major difference for me in this experiment versus before, like whether you believe it or not. In the past, I would find myself opening the Twitter app and looking at it to the exclusion of like anything else that was happening in my life, to the exclusion of like my kids asking me something, my family, because there was always just something new and interesting that I would get if I just pulled the lever, like a gambling lever, and like got a new thing. And it was always exciting. And pulling away from it, which I'm still claiming that I did do, I stopped looking at that stream. And then once you're away from it, like you begin to sort of not, Like, the less you use it, the less you want to use it. And so there's some, like, curve there that once you're on, it kind of makes it a little bit easier to stop using every day.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that you weren't lying or trying to mislead anybody, but I think all of this ex post facto contextualization does not really support your case, because it was all, if you read carefully and squint, it was all in there in the original piece. And if you squint, it was there in the conversation you had with me. You did not misrepresent yourself, but you wrote a column which you could have very well written saying exactly what you've said to me, so that we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And of course, the word unplugged was, you know, I mean, it's not a catastrophe, so I can't say it was catastrophic, but it was clearly a big-ass mistake. So instead of explaining all of the reasons why we should have been able to figure this out based on the words you wrote in the column, you know, suck it up and say, I fucked up, and I mean, that's how I do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I was not trying to misrepresent what I did. I was not lying or making anything up. And, like, part of the reason that I thought that I wasn't is because, like, the sort of evidence for what I was doing on Twitter is, like, available to everyone. And so really sort of didn't think that it was possible to mischaracterize that. Obviously, I wasn't clear enough. And, right, I should be more clear.
Farhad, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks.
Farhad Manju is a technology columnist for the New York Times. This has been an OTM Podcast Extra. If you wish to hear the original Farhad Manju interview, check out our website, onthemedia.org. Go to segments, and the piece is titled Turning Off the Fire Hose.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.